If you will, I'm going to have you turn to Matthew 6. I know the verse that you have in your bulletin is Psalm 55:17, and that's a part of it. But turn to Matthew 6, if you will, please. Matthew 6. In Psalm 55:17, we read, "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." I think that one of the areas that we all can use some teaching in is this area of prayer. I want each one of us, I want myself, I want my prayers to be effective. I want your prayers to be effective, because prayer changes things. We may not understand how that works, and I don't. I just know that God does hear prayer. And I know that under the right circumstance, God answers prayer. And maybe you have things on your heart that you pray about. But is it possible that maybe we're praying wrong? I don't know. I've been doing a lot of praying lately, more than I would normally do. I guess it's that Jesus has given me more things to pray about. But I do know that there's a lot of things I can't do anything about, but I do know who can. So if we look at, you know, in Psalm 55:17, it tells us that we'll see it's nothing unusual to pray in the morning and at noon and in the evening. In other words, there's nothing wrong with praying all day long. And Jesus was concerned about prayer. His disciples ask him, you know, teach us to pray. John's disciples ask him to teach them to pray. And so I thought this morning, and Tim mentioned he was all around this subject this morning in his lesson. He didn't know what the title was going to be of the message. It's so neat, I think, when the Holy Spirit brings everything together. Then you know that it's God and that he is the one who's doing this. And it's not man. You didn't come here to hear man. You came here to hear God. So there are so many different things that we can pray about and so many different times during the day. You can pray before you get out of bed in the morning, or you can pray as you get out of bed in the morning. Like I said, you can pray throughout the day. You can even pray after you go to bed at night. I do many times. I think about things that I haven't prayed about during the day or things that need prayer. And it's not unusual for me to fall asleep praying. You say, how can you disrespect God that way? You do it too. You do. I do it because I'm tired. God understands. I've been thinking about prayer and what it is to some people. And prayer to me may be something different than it is to you. Prayer is very personal. And God expects it to be personal. Because prayer, if it is done right, is done between you and God. Not you and me, not you and anybody else, but you and God. So as we think about prayer this morning, we're not It's not my intention to be critical of anybody. How you pray, you pray. That's between you and God. It's not between you and me. But there are some things that we need to be aware of, I think, that will help our prayer become better communication with God. And that's the whole purpose of prayer, excuse me, is to communicate with God. So we're going to take a little time this morning to look at prayer and see what really constitutes prayer according to God. So let's exercise a little prayer before we get started and ask God to help us. Father, we do want to learn. We do want to please you. Father, we do want our prayers to be effective. Lord, help us this morning with your Holy Spirit. Help us to communicate with you, to draw closer to you. And Father, help our prayer to be more effective, because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me just a second here. I hope this pollen is not doing to you what it's doing to me and others. Like I said, to start with, prayer is a very personal relationship between three persons and the one praying. You say three persons, yes. God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and God's Holy Spirit. Those are the ones that we can pray for and pray to. We can ask the Holy Spirit, help me. And you will see in a few minutes, that's what he's there for. So as we examine prayer, some of you may feel like I'm being critical, and I'm not. Like I said, prayer is very personal. No one, even your pastor, should not ever criticize your prayer. Okay? So don't take this as a criticism. All I'm going to try and do is share what the Word says about prayer, what it teaches us about prayer. The reason that we're looking at prayer this morning is to see if your prayer can be made more effective. Okay? That's the whole reason behind it. So I ask you to turn to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to look at verses 5 through 9. Verses 5 through 9 of Matthew chapter 6. The disciples had asked Jesus to teach them about prayer like John had done with his disciples. And beginning in verse 5, Jesus replied, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. After this manner pray ye, Our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And we will continue tonight, because I'm not going to be able to cover everything this morning. on this same vein. And that's where we will start, is with verse 9. They're just five verses here, and they cover just about everything we need to know about prayer. The first thing that Jesus covered with his disciples was the motive for prayer. Why do we pray? Everyone, without exception, should be willing to pray in public, because you are not praying to the public, you're praying to God. And that's between you and him. The first thing our Lord taught us about prayer is the motive is extremely important. Why are we praying? Are we praying to be seen as religious or more holy than the other people around us? Are we praying to be seen by people as one of God's special people? If we are, then our prayers are in vain, because God does not hear them. Because that involves pride on our part, and pride is always a sin. You know how I like Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And that applies to every one of us. So if we're praying for to be seen, if we're praying because of our pride, that's wrong, and God is not going to hear that prayer. If a person is ashamed to pray in public, and many times there are occasions where we need to do that, every one of us, maybe pray with a person who's just brought a problem to you, and you're not going to have another occasion to be with them and to pray with them, and you want to go to the Father, or you need to go to Jesus Christ, or to God's Holy Spirit, and pray. Don't let pride keep you from praying. So motive is very, very important. And if you're afraid somebody's going to criticize your praying, how can a brother or sister who loves the Lord criticize you for talking to God? They shouldn't. They've got a heart problem if they do. No one needs to be ashamed of sincere prayer. Prayer that is offered just for people to hear is directed to the wrong person. It needs to be directed to God, because he's the one who's going to be able to answer it. So we don't need to think about, well, what will everybody think of my prayer? If your prayer is sincerely offered to God, then it doesn't matter what words you use. It matters what heart attitude you have. That's a beginning. That's the place we start with prayer. He was talking about, you know, the Pharisees and praying on the street corners and praying in the temple. So I've heard some fantastic prayers, very flowery, very, just gorgeous prayers, but they were not necessarily sincere to God. They were offered for people to hear. God desires secret prayer. That's one of the reasons that an unspoken request is so important. Because people have things they cannot talk about or don't care to talk about personally. And so they express it as an unspoken request. Because most of the folks might not understand what is being talked about or what is being asked of God. Because they don't know the background. And you know what? Nobody else needs to know the background either. God already knows. That's what Jesus said. Before we offer prayer, God already knows everything that we're praying about. Remember, He's omniscient. He knows it all. He knew it before we knew we were going to need help. And so we don't have to explain to God why we're praying. We don't have to tell Him all about it. And that's sometimes done so that people can express why these prayers are being offered or why they're and we don't need to, nobody else needs to know, because they're not going to answer the prayer for you. He is. So God desires secret prayer. God already knows why we're coming to Him. He knew before we did. There are two reasons that we don't need to tell God the details. He knows what is happening. And it's like we're trying to tell God what to do or how to answer it. And many times I find myself going in the same direction, trying to tell God how to answer my prayer. Like I know more than He does. And I don't. I know that. You should know that. I think you do. So we don't want to tell God how to answer our prayers. We go to God because we trust Him to do the right thing for us. Not necessarily the thing we want, but the right thing. If we feel like we have to explain our prayer to God, we're actually praying for the people who are overhearing our prayer. And we don't need to do that. We're praying for the hearers, not to God. Verse 7, you have Matthew. Jesus told the disciples that they should not get too wordy. And God doesn't have to have a lot of words from us to know what to do. He already knows how He's going to answer it. So we shouldn't necessarily make our prayer long because we think that's what everybody expects. Prayer can be just two or three words. There are times when we could cry out to God in our minds, in our hearts, God help me. And that can be a very sincere prayer. And that can be a prayer that accomplishes something that God can answer because it's sincere. It's fervent. And what does James say? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And in some cases, just two words, oh God, can be a prayer of our heart. So there doesn't need to be a lot of words. There are times when we don't know just how to deal with the situation. And so we can call up to God and ask Him to take care of it. Now, it's not in the quantity of words that we use that qualifies as a prayer. It's in the quality of the word. That's what touches God's heart. Prayer is not offered to be heard by people around us. Prayer is supposed to be to God, and it's a plea or a petition for some need that we have in our life or some need that someone else, if it's intercessory prayer, someone else may have. I heard both kinds of prayer this morning. I heard prayer for other people and prayer for ourselves. That's real prayer. When we pray, we should be thoughtful about what we're saying. And we should never, never tell God how to answer that prayer. Now that may mean that we have to think about it, sometimes even ahead of time. It's possible that when you are called upon by someone that says, "Would you pray for us?" that it might require a moment of just contemplating what should be prayed for, how you should pray, how you may need to start it off. And some of that we'll get into tonight, but for now, we're just thinking about the basics of prayer, what Jesus told his disciples. And so as we consider how to commence our prayers, there needs to be some type of organization in our mind and in our heart for our prayer. Now, I don't know about you, but I almost always start with gratitude because I am so thankful that God is doing everything that he's doing. Again, there are times I don't like it, but it's God. So I express gratitude for what God's already doing. Gratitude and praise are very closely related. So using both to open our prayers is quite appropriate. And that's how Jesus taught his disciples to start their prayers, by praising God. One thing that prayer is supposed to do is to fulfill God's will. And sometimes that's the hard part of our composing our prayers. Sometimes we don't want God's will, we want our own. And we all have times like that. But God does know what is needed. And sometimes we don't have any idea of what is needed. And God has made provision for that in every one of our lives if we've been born again. If we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, then the Holy Spirit is living in our heart. And God tells us in Romans 8, 26 and 27, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." So when you don't know how to pray or you don't know what to pray for, let the Holy Spirit pray for you. That might mean that you just have to stop and let him intercede. When you don't know how to pray and you ask the Holy Spirit to help you and to intercede for you, he will do that. God has promised it. But when you ask the Holy Spirit to intercede for you, don't go off and get busy doing something else. Just be still and know that he is God. Until you know in your heart that the intercession has been made. And that may just require some being still and listening, rather than going off to work or starting dishes and whatever you might have need to do. Various thoughts, when you do that, various thoughts may pass through your mind. You need to know Scripture. You need to know what God's Word says, because otherwise, how do you know that that is not your own wicked heart that is deceiving you? If it's not in line with the Word of God. And if you don't know what the Word of God says, you don't know whether it's your wicked heart deceiving you or whether this is the Holy Spirit trying to lead you. And so it's important to know Scripture. There's no one in this sanctuary this morning that doesn't have plenty to pray about. There are four verses in 1 Thessalonians that deal with prayer. And I think it's worth taking a good look at 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 19. You can even memorize these. They're only about two words a verse. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 19. Verse 16 says, rejoice evermore. Verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. Verse 18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And then verse 19 is also a very important verse. Quench not the Spirit. So let's start with verse 16, rejoicing evermore. Sometimes I sense that there are people who don't care for prayer. They think that prayer is boring and a poor way to spend their time. They do not like prayer time because sincere prayer does take work, folks. It does. It takes work. It takes thought. And they want to see, they seem to not want to spend time in prayer because they're not joy-filled. If you have the joy of God in your heart, you certainly don't mind spending some time with Him. They have usually something in their life that's going on that is not according to God's will, is not according to His Word. And they need to deal with that. And if something else is filling their life and not the Holy Spirit, then they do have a joy problem. What can take away the joy of our salvation? Sin. Of one kind or another. That's the main thing that takes away the joy of our salvation. Now, that sin must be something, I've tried to imagine this in my own mind. That sin must be something really special for them to want to give up the joy of being saved. To want to give up their relationship with God. And I can't believe that there is anything in this world, any sin in this world, worth doing that. I think the person that has lost the joy of their salvation needs to go back and check their salvation experience. And I think they need to sit down and have a talk with God while reading His Word, that they might understand. The next verse is pray without ceasing. Okay, so we're talking about prayer. We can pray in the morning when we wake up, get out of bed, we can pray. We can pray while we're getting dressed and going about the preparations for the day. Then we can head for work and think of other things. And actually, you can pray while you're driving, but I make one suggestion. Don't close your eyes. I think, you know, I don't know, but I've seen people rear end people and things, and I don't know what they're thinking about. I bet they're not praying. Not at the time. They start praying afterwards. So we can pray throughout the day. We can do it silently in our mind. And we should. Everything we're doing, we should be wanting to obey the will of God. God, am I doing this right? God, should I even be doing this? So we can pray throughout the day. We can pray without ceasing. So we pray. Now, some people want to pray on their knees. And I used to pray on my knees till they got so bad that I can't stand the pain when I'm on my knees. And some of you are having the same problem. It's called birthdays. You don't have to be on your knees to talk to God. You can talk to Him from a chair. You can even talk to Him from your bed. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you can talk to God. You can be in an attitude of kneeling. That's called humility. Now, the next verse that we were looking at there in Thessalonians says that we are to give thanks for everything because this is the will of God. Now, what's wrong with thanking people for the things they do for you? What's wrong with thanking God for the things He's doing for you? Nothing. And yet I see so many people who are unthankful, and I have talked about it with you in previous times. Suppose you let somebody out into traffic when it's all blocked and they're sitting there and car after car is going by and not letting them out. And you let them out, and they don't take the time to do this. They just drive on. They're unthankful. And there's a lot of people who are unthankful today. Hold the door open for somebody. Most of them, at least most of them, will say, thank you. Some of them will walk through there like they were entitled to you holding the door open for them. We laugh. But we do the same thing with God. We don't thank Him for the very things that He is doing for us or giving us. And it says, His Word says, we are to be thankful for everything. Then the last verse tells us to quench not the Spirit. If we're praying in the Spirit, He will lead us in our prayers. And you say, well, how can you quench the Spirit? Well, let's say that you're praying, and as you're praying, you've got something you need to do. So in your mind, you set a time factor. I'll pray 30 seconds. But as you're praying, God reminds you about someone or something that needs your prayer. And so, if you're obedient, you pray about it. And while you're praying about that, He reminds you of something else, and something else, and something else. That's the Holy Spirit, folks, guiding and directing you. And if you say, well, I don't have time to keep praying, when He's telling you this person needs your prayers or this situation needs your prayers, folks, if you stop because you've got something else you want to do. Oh, I need to meet so-and-so for lunch. Then, folks, you're quenching the Spirit. Yeah, you are. Can you pray all day long? Yes, you can. I used to wonder how these evangelists and people who would pray and bring about, through their prayer, revival. Sometimes pray for hours and hours. If you follow the leading of God's Holy Spirit, you can spend hours. Now, does that mean that you shouldn't do the things you're doing right now? No, we've all got to live. But again, we can pray in our minds while we're going about doing things. But also, if you set aside time to pray, I think I'll take Thursday. You'll be surprised if you follow the leading of God's Holy Spirit. You will be able to pray all day Thursday. And if you are really into this and you're praying fervently, that means with feeling, with compassion, you're going to be surprised how quickly time passes and how God uses you to be an answer to prayers in someone else's life. So, what might be more important? Your plans or the prompting of God's Holy Spirit? Like I said, I used to wonder how some old-time evangelists could spend hours and hours in prayer. And now I see. Well, we're out of time, believe it or not. So we're going to continue this tonight. All right? So let's go exercise what we've just been reading about. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for being our God, our Heavenly Father. And Father, help us in our prayer life to do what you would have us to do it the way you would have us to do it. And Father, we want to please you. So help us to obey all that Jesus taught his disciples and through your word is teaching us. And we will praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name. Amen.